Blog Talk Radio.
Era noaptea târziu.
It was very late at night.
Stăteam pe o piatră afară.
I was sitting outside on a rock.
Lui Stan i-am arătat piatra că n-o fost la mine.
As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home.
Acolo stam și mă gândeam ce-am făcut eu.
And I was just thinking, what did I do?
Plângeam să nu mă vadă familia.
I was crying so my family wouldn't see me.
Și odată am văzut că vine o lumină spre mine.
And all of a sudden I saw a light coming towards me.
Când am văzut lumina, am crezut că e o mașină.
When I saw the light, I thought it was a car.
În Italia și în România m-au urmărit cu mașina să mă urmăre.
Because in Romania and in Italy they always try to run me over with cars.
După mine și aici.
So I thought they found me here too.
Dar n-a fost mașină.
But it was not a car.
Că lumina m-a cucerit.
The light surrounded me.
Și din lumina m-a auzit aceeași voce.
And out of the light I heard the same voice.
Era același înger.
It was the same angel.
Dumitru, de ce ești tu disperat?
Dumitru, why are you so despaired?
Și de ce m-ai pedepsit așa de tare?
Why'd you punish me so harshly?
Ce am făcut eu?
What did I do?
Ce nu m-ai lăsat pe mine în pușcărie?
Why couldn't you let me stay in prison?
Familia avea unde să stea.
But my family would have had a home.
Zic, eu n-am unde îmi plec acasă.
I don't have a bed to lay my head down on.
De ce m-ai adus aici?
Why was I brought here?
Dumitru, te-am adus aici că țara asta va...
Dumitru, I brought you to this country because this country will burn.
Și m-ai adus să mă arg aici și nu m-ai lăsat să mor în pușcărie în țara mea.
So why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in jail in my own country?
Dumitru, taci.
He said, Dumitru, be quiet.
Urcă-te lângă mine.
Get beside me.
Ce aparat a avut, nu.
I don't know what the device was.
M-a tras lângă el.
But he pulled me beside him.
Mi-a arătat toată California.
And he showed me all of California. Do you see what I've shown you? This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Păcatul lor a ajuns înaintea lui Dumnezeu.
Their sins have reached God.
Și Dumnezeu a hotărât să-i pedepsească pentru.
And God has decided to punish them by fire.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Las Vegas.
He came and showed me Las Vegas.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va...
And one day it will burn.
Mi-a arătat New York.
He came and showed me New York.
Aici e New York.
This is New York.
Aici
this is a Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day it will burn. And then he showed me Florida. This is Florida. This is a Sodom and Gomorrah. And in one day it will burn.
You've been listening to the Wake Up America message with Dimitri Dudeman. For a copy of this very important message, please go to our website at handofhelp.com. Never before in the history of our country has our nation been in more jeopardy than now. Please order a copy of the video Wake Up America at the handofhelp.com website and get the warning out while we still have time.
Welcome to the show tonight, Light of Truth broadcast. This is Gene Schmidt. Michael Baldea he is going to Ohio tomorrow, and so he's not going to be able to do the show live tonight. He's got a whole weekend of meetings in Ohio, and so tonight we are going to be rebroadcasting a very important show from early this year. Please stay tuned and listen to the broadcast. I think with everything going on with Russia and North Korea and all the events taking shape that continue to prove Dimitri Dudeman's prophetic words to be accurate, I think this show that Michael pre-recorded earlier this year will be a definite encouragement for the church to prepare and stand up and wake up. So may God bless you as you listen to this prior show.
The Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Baldea.
Well, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Baldea. And as is always the case, when another week has come and gone, we have much to discuss and we have much to dissect and we have much to contemplate. It has been a trying week in the Baldea household. I'm running on next to no sleep, and it's been like this for the past few days. Victoria has been sick. She's had a cold with fever for the last few days, and yesterday we added an ear infection to the mix just for spice. It's not fun to hear your child cry. I guess... if I look at it from a different perspective, I'm thankful that I've heard her cry so rarely, because up until yesterday, I had only heard her cry like that one other time, and she's almost 3 years old. So God has been gracious. Ear infections apparently are the second most common ailments in toddlers and infant children. And this is the first time she's had to contend with it, but it is painful nevertheless. It to be honest with you, it just breaks your heart to hear your child cry. And if you've had children, or if you have children, and if they've had an ear infection, then you know how they react to the pain, because it is very painful. Keep us in your prayers. Hopefully, she will be better soon, as we have to travel to California. And sometime next week, I think next Wednesday, we're flying out. I have to do some meetings, and I am taking my family with me. Because as I said on the Daily Truth this morning, when God calls you into ministry, he does not expect you to sacrifice your family. It doesn't work that way. When God calls you into ministry, he will make a way for you to do ministry and provide for your family. He will make a way for you to do ministry and be close to your family. He will make a way for you to do ministry and be the head of your household. It's a recent thing that happened. Somebody wrote me an email, and they were very proud, is the best way I can put it, about the fact that they walked out on their wife, on his wife and their two children for the sake of ministry. And for some reason, he thought this was reason for gloating. This was reason for being proud. And he wrote me this lengthy email about how he'd sacrificed more than most men because he'd walked out on his family. And my answer to him was, I'm not even going to ask you if God told you to leave your family, because I know he wouldn't. If you tell me that God told you to leave your family, I would tell you you heard it from the devil. It was the devil that whispered in your ear to abandon your wife and your two children, because there is no testimony there. You don't have a testimony if you walk out on your family and go about preaching the gospel. I don't care who you are. It's one of those things that just rubs me the wrong way. Self-important people that think they're above the word of God. Look, God will not ask you to abandon or forfeit family, children, wife, for the sake of ministry. He is wise enough to make a way for you to do both if you are called to ministry. Anyway, that's an aside. It's something that's stuck in my craw, and something that I talked about this morning as well. But look, we need to grow up. We need to understand certain realities. And I know that in the man's mind, he thought he was worthy of praise, but he's beyond pitiable as far as I'm concerned, because when you walk out on those whom God has appointed you overseer, when you walk out on those whom God has appointed as provider, you're worse than an infidel. So don't you dare tell me you're a minister of the gospel. Don't you dare beat your chest and say that you're an evangelist to the nations. Anyway, so you understand my position by now, I hope. It's not something that I take lightly, because I've seen too many after effects. Let's put it that way. I've seen too many after effects of people who abandoned their families thinking that they were doing right. And I've seen their children grow up bitter and angry with God, because they blamed God for taking away their dad. It wasn't God that took away their father. Their father went on his own. God would never ask such a thing. And so you have this generational ripple effect, wherein because of the foolish choice of the father, the children grow to hate God. And some of the hardest hearts that I've met are preacher's kids, who felt that their father had abandoned them for the ministry. It's almost impossible to reach them. Once they get that mindset settled in their hearts that their dad went to work for God and left them behind, or that God asked their father to leave them and forsake them for the sake of ministry. Look, if God is a father to us, and he promises that he will never leave us nor forsake us, then we, being fathers to our own children, ought to do likewise. That we can make this intellectual leap that though God never abandons or forsake us, he would ask us to do it. How do we make that intellectual leap? How do we come to that conclusion that God will ask you to do something that he's unwilling to do? Just a thought. I don't know why I'm off on this tangent, to be honest with you, because there's a lot happening, and there's a lot that happened this week, and tomorrow's a big day. Here we are on the eve of the new president-elect being sworn in. And to be honest, things seem to be spinning out of control. You have CNN journalists fantasizing about the entire new administration, from the president to the vice president to everyone down the line, being assassinated somehow by some strange twisted logic. Obama can remain in office. You have mentally ill individuals lighting themselves on fire outside of Trump hotels, and you have perverts and pederasts of every stripe dancing and protesting in front of Mike Pence's home. You know, just because they're so tolerant and all-inclusive and embracing of diversity and whatnot. Please understand this. These people that walk around with the rainbow flags and say they're tolerant and all-embracing and all-inclusive, they're the most hateful, bitter people you will ever meet in your entire life. Understand this, because there's a lot of the church out there today trying to make a bridge of peace, trying to understand them. You've got moron pastors marching in gay pride parades thinking that it will affect these people to change. These are the most hateful, reprobate people on the face of the planet. They're only tolerant of those who are like-minded with them. There is no tolerance for opposing views. So what do? They go have semi-naked dances in front of the vice president-elect's home, showing their tolerance and all-inclusiveness. So if you happen to be one of those pastors, or if you happen to be one of those youth leaders, because this is, it's more popular apparently among youth leaders, youth pastors are taking their young to gay pride parades to show support for the lifestyle. Really? These are the same people who wouldn't put you out if they saw you on fire. They just throw another gallon of gas on you and bring some marshmallows along. Unbelievable. Look, seriously, just how do these people have all this free time? This is what I'm wondering. Because I'm watching this, and there's people that should be at work. How do these people have so much free time? I need to know this because it's bugging me. I'm up at 3 o'clock in the morning most mornings. I get home around 6 p.m. I have dinner with my family, do a bit of work still, and start the day anew the next morning. And some people can go and dance half naked in 30-degree weather like buffoons in front of a family's home on a weekday just because they feel like it. How does this happen? Look, maybe we should try cutting off government aid for anyone under 40 with no dependents, able-bodied and capable of working. Maybe that'll cut down on the protesters. What do you think? Why not try that for a change? I don't know, maybe there will be less perverts harassing a perfectly nice family in Indiana and maybe more of them looking for work. It's just bile, trying to understand perversion, trying to embrace them, just sets me off. Look, I'm going to let you in on a little secret, kids. Hungry hurts worse than stupid. I'm going to repeat that. It's profound. You don't think it is as yet, but it's profound. Hungry hurts worse than stupid. If they seem not to be affected by their own stupidity, maybe it's time we tried hungry. So yes, cutting off government aid for anyone under 40 who has no dependents and is able-bodied and just doesn't want to work. Because there's lazy people out there. Look, we have an outreach here in Watertown, in Wisconsin. We have an outreach in the U.S. as well as in Romania. And when it's warm outside, we pass out food in the Walmart parking lot to people. Now, I'm not going to say every single one that comes is like this, but you can tell the people that are needy from the people that are just plain lazy. I'm sorry. Look, if you have time and resources to get yourself face tattoos and gauges and nose rings and every other thing under the sun, but you can't scrape together 10 bucks to buy some lunch meat, what am I going to do? How can I help you out of your stupidity but to let you go hungry long enough for you to realize that you're stupid and you need to stop inking your face and actually getting a job? Because I stopped going. I got so bitter in my spirit at a certain point when I saw perfectly healthy people my age and younger pushing old people out of the way to get a box of lunch meat, knowing that those old people didn't have the resources to buy them, and they didn't have the energy or the power or the stamina or the wherewithal to actually go and get a job. And here are these Welsh stallions of men, just 300 pounders plus, standing in food lines next to elderly people, elbowing them out of the way. Couldn't. I talked it out with my wife. I talked to my brother Daniel. I said, look, I know we're doing good, and the people that can do it can still do it, but I leave every Saturday morning bitter and angry because I see people taking advantage, and I detest anybody that takes advantage. So, yeah, we should try that. Cutting off government aid. Maybe that'll cut back on the protesters. What do you say? it promises to be a fun evening, does it not? But yeah, this is what I'm going to be talking about today. Because the inauguration is a day away. It's tomorrow. And it seems that by all accounts, these people are losing their minds. The man has not even taken the oath of office. And there are people prognosticating the end of the world, hoping that a meteor crashes to Earth before tomorrow. Something, anything to make this current situation less of a reality for them. And the only thing going through my mind is that if they're acting like this now, imagine a month or two down the road, some of these people were literally, I'm telling you this, some of these people will literally be lying in their own filth and doing finger painting with their own fecal matter in some asylum somewhere. It's impossible for this not to happen. They'll have mental breakdowns. And you know, I wish I weren't like this sometimes, but I'm okay with it. You've got to love it just a little bit, don't you? These self-important, pompous, bloated buffoons who think just because you played an intellectual in the short-lived television series, you are one in real life. Ah, to see the smug just slapped off of their face. To see the little hamster on the wheel in their brain just freeze up to see the desperation in their eyes. To see them slowly, slowly, but surely coming to grips with the true measure of their own irrelevance. It's glorious. No, that doesn't make me a small person. It makes me a normal human being who's had all this nonsense and idiocy and foolishness and perversion just thrown at him over and over again by every single one of these buffoons. Nonstop. They've been going on and on for the past year and a half or so, telling us that what is happening would never happen. And when it did, that everyone who helped make it happen is a racist and a xenophobe and a bigot and everything else. They normalized the abnormal and called normal human beings abnormal in return. They put out videos and pleas and cries and screamed and did everything they could for this administration not to take office, and we are but a few glorious hours away from it becoming a reality. And it's sinking in. With a lot of these buffoons, it's sinking in. We don't have the influence we thought we did. We don't have the gravitas we thought we did. I guess people really don't care that we were in a movie in 1983. I guess the fact that we can speak in Shakespearean prose does not the heart melt. I guess we're human after all. And I guess people look at their own children and they choose the hope of a better future in lieu of the propaganda that we've been trying to shove down their throats. This is what these people are realizing. And a lot of them are going to have mental breaks because they can't cope with the reality. Look, supposed newsmen and supposed reporters and supposed journalists are coming up with hypothetical situations as to how inauguration can go awry tomorrow. And although I haven't heard anyone float the idea of aliens coming down in their spaceships and interfering, I'm sure that we will by the time the night is through. I'm sorry, but nowadays you simply cannot have this much fun for free anymore. You've got fully grown individuals who fawned and got the vapors every time they saw Obama 8 years ago for a national disaster. They're hoping for something that would throw the nation into chaos, something that would most assuredly start a civil war in this nation, so Donald Trump doesn't become president tomorrow. It's amazing, isn't it? Astounding. If there was any proof needed that these people are in desperate and immediate need of mental health care, I think we've had it. I think it's time to call in the guys with the straitjackets and the muzzles. Look, this isn't some crackpot in his mom's basement eating Cheetos and typing away on his keyboard. This is the face of CNN, Wolf Blitzer himself, who kept going on about a disaster keeping Obama in office. If you don't believe me, I'm sure you have the internet. Look it up. Wilf the Blitzer. The face of CNN, the most mature anchorman to ever live, was going on and on about a disaster and what it would take to keep Obama in office and how pretty much everyone in the Trump cabinet had to die in order for this to be facilitated. Seriously? And no one is calling these people out on this? No one is throwing a flag on the play? No one's saying, Wolf, take your medicine this morning, buddy? Look, I'm just going to read a little bit of this because it's just too good. Listen to the lengths that these people are willing to go to in order to simply cling to some semblance of hope that this isn't really happening or that it won't really happen. As the nation prepares for the peaceful transfer of power, and come on, really, peaceful transfer of power, they've done everything they can to derail this. I mean, short of Obama coming out and calling for civil disobedience, well, he kind of did, but okay, so short of him, you know, starting the revolution himself, short of him trying to stab Trump in the face tomorrow, they've done everything they could to make this the least peaceful transfer of power. Let's be honest. Can we do that? Can we be honest with ourselves? But anyway, the article. Let's get back to the article. I know I'm having so much fun tonight. It's the lack of sleep, I think. But as the nation prepares for the peaceful transfer of power on Inauguration Day, CNN is dreaming up scenarios whereby the Obama administration can keep power if President-elect Donald Trump and Vice President-elect Mike Pence were blown up as they prepared to take the oath of office. This passes for news on CNN. They're dreaming up scenarios whereby the Obama administration can keep power if Donald Trump and Mike Pence were blown up as they prepared to take the oath of office. On Wednesday, January the 18th, broadcast of CNN's The Situation Room, host Wolf the Blitzer aired a segment with a tag featuring the headline, Developing Now. During the developing segment, the Blitzer and correspondent Brian Todd discussed what would happen if the unthinkable occurred on January 20th. The Blitzer introduced the segment saying, what if the incoming president and his immediate successors were wiped out in one day? Seriously? Come on, seriously. The Secret Service hasn't paid the Wolf a visit? No cavity search? No checking if he's taking his meds? Do you realize what would happen in this nation if something were to occur tomorrow? Do you realize that we would no longer have a viable nation? There would be absolute chaos. It would be civil war. Done. And all the hashtag mafia, don't think they'll fare too well. Because, you know, us deplorables, the rednecks and such, the people living in flyover country, yeah, we have all the guns and the bullets. And all you have is snark and hashtags. They haven't made bulletproof hashtags yet. Just saying. So let's not pray for something that you don't really want. Believable. Nobody thinks things through anymore. Everything is a vitriolic reaction. But let's get back to the article. So, the Blitzer introduced the segment again saying, what if an incoming president and his immediate successors were wiped out in one day? And from there, CNN contributor Brian Todd took over to outline the line of succession if an attack blew up the inaugural dais, killing both Trump and Pence. Again, let me reiterate, this passes for news on CNN. The upshot was that in the case of both heads of state being killed, the Secretary of State would take over. Currently, the man is Secretary of State. Catch up, Kerry! No! But in case some objected, because his office would also end as of noon on Inauguration Day, then it would be the Speaker of the House, Republican Paul Chicken Little Ryan, or even Obama's Undersecretary of Political Affairs, Tom Shannon. I do not know Tom Shannon. There is no funny nickname for Tom Shannon. The report also noted that the designated survivor. So this is how far we've gone into the lunacy. We're talking about designated survivors appointed by the Obama administration also potentially become president in the case of a disaster. So in CNN's analysis, most of the people who would take over in the worst case scenario would keep the Obama administration in power, at least indirectly. So while most of the country is looking to enjoy the day's events and waiting expectantly to hear what our new president will have to say for his first address as our leader, CNN is wondering what will happen if he is assassinated. And the article ends with this, perhaps CNN anger, the second stage of grief. So yes, losing their minds. There's no way around it. There's no polite way of saying it. They're losing their minds. Now, if you're asking what the big deal is, just imagine for a second that Fox News would have done a similar story when Obama got into office. Just imagine one of their top guys get on the air on about what would happen if everyone got wiped out in one day. Look, they'd still be talking about it 8 years later. And chances are better than good that the individual in question would no longer have a job. The fact that Wolf the Blitzer is not in an asylum as I speak these words proves that the double standard here is beyond the pale. And yes, Donald Trump was right when he said the media was biased. Look, let's face facts here, all right? I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. At this point, it's over. So if you were all hoorah-rah for Depends Hillary, you can join the others, finger-painting. But for the past 8 years, the media has been running cover for competent, overpaid, underperforming hacks. These are people who spent more time playing golf and on vacation than they did actually working on behalf of the people. And now their kingdom is brought low, and they're losing their minds. But even now, they're trying to sell the American people on the total lie that unemployment is 5.7% or some nonsense. Now, it may be 5.7% when you no longer count the 96 million long-term unemployed people in this country. But if you add them to the rosters, as they ought to be, it's no longer 5.7%, is it? And I guarantee you, I foresee this as clearly as I foresee that tomorrow is Friday. Now that the new administration is about to take office, I guarantee you that the mainstream media will start talking about 15% unemployment and blame it all on the new guy who hasn't even changed the bed sheets in the Lincoln bedroom yet. This is the way they operate. I've said it before and I'll say it again. This is the way they operate. Keep silent. And if you don't press your advantage, and if you don't take steps to make these people understand that what they are doing is inexcusable and not permissible, they will continue to chip away. They will continue to come up with more deluded musings because they don't know how to lose graciously. As a matter of fact, they don't know how to lose at all. They've never had to face failure because they were never in the private sector. You see, when you fail in government, take more of the taxpayers' money. When you fail in the private sector, you become homeless. These people have never had to fail in the private sector. So we give $250 million to some green energy company that goes belly up 3 weeks later. That's all right. We'll just take more of the taxpayers' money and fund another loser with it. These people don't know how to lose. They have their agenda, they have their goal, and they will not be deterred, no matter what. This is why we need to be as vocal about the truth as they are about the lie. We need to be as committed to getting our point across as they are to promoting their agenda. It's because Christians do nothing and say nothing that the darkness is able to run roughshod over all that's decent. It's because we will still patronize and we will still give our hard-earned money to individuals and corporations who openly despise us, who openly detest us, who openly call for our silencing and our re-education. Because that's what they're calling for. Either shut up or accept the new normal. And by the way, the notion of re-education was introduced by the communists. And those who refused to be re-educated were permanently removed from society, either by way of a bullet to the head or a lifetime's worth of imprisonment. So yeah, time not to be silent anymore. Look, we saw that it's possible to affect change by simply not patronizing a corporation or an individual that we disagree with. The target corporation is tail spinning out of control. It's bleeding red because enough people in these United States disagreed with their position of allowing fully grown men to share the same bathroom as a six-year-old girl. And as long as we keep the pressure on, they'll continue to bleed until they change their ways or until they go out of business. Personally, I choose go out of business because you know that if they change their ways, it's only because they're bleeding too much. But beyond that, there is something that I wanted to discuss with you tonight. And I know I'm jumping from place to place, but there's just so much I want to get to before the hour is through. And by the time we're together again, it'll be a whole new nation. It's just something that I've thought of very often throughout my life, at least my adult life. I've often wondered how a crowd of people could get so worked up as to celebrate the evisceration of other human beings by lions in Colosseums, or seeing them burnt alive, or yelling, "Crucify him!" with the bloodlust of the damned. I've often wondered, took for seemingly normal, functional people to lose their way to such an extent wherein they lusted after the death of another human being. And I no longer have to wonder about that, because I'm seeing it live and in living color on my television screen pretty much every time I hazard to turn on the nightly news. Do you think that it will be any different when they start calling for the heads of Christians? Do you think that it will be any different when true persecution comes to our shores? Look, I know, it's a strange thing to talk about now on the eve of a new administration coming into the White House, which by all intents and purposes, by all evidence out there, seems to be friendly to Christians, at least much friendlier than the previous administration, because we got a reprieve. It doesn't mean that we've gotten a pardon. And eventually the tab will come due. Look, I have to think about things like this. I think about things like this because it's far too easy to get caught up in the moment and forget about the things the Word of God forewarns us of. It's far too easy to grow excited and exuberant about the possibility of what may be and lose sight of what we know with certainty will be, because the Bible spoke of it as a warning to us, those living in the last days, those looking at the world as it sits and seeing far too many similarities with the Word of God for us to dismiss offhand or really believe that we're still decades away from these things coming to pass. Look, I must confess, I really do. I too am feeling oddly patriotic tonight. There, I said it. I too found myself humming "I'm Proud to Be an American" earlier today. I have no idea why. Keep my expectations and my hopes in check because of what the Word of God tells us is coming upon the world. And because of the reality that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Look, don't get me wrong. It was a nice change from humming "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands" or "Be Careful, Little Eyes, What You See," because these are the newest songs that my daughters learn. These are the newest songs in her repertoire. And she sings them incessantly. But we must never lose sight of the fact, as we do, that it will be rainbows and butterflies from here on in. We know that it will not, because the Word says it will not. There needs to be a balance in the way we think about this present life and about the way we think regarding what's going on around us. The way I can put it is that we need to find the sweet spot. We need to find the middle ground between thinking that Trump is the next best thing since Jesus and that Donald Trump is the devil incarnate because his son-in-law owns a piece of property with the street number 666. Yes, that's actually a theory going around. I'm just letting you know. Look, I'm still waiting for the church to wake up and grow up and find its ability to reason once more And from the looks of it, I'll be waiting for a long, long time. On the one side, you have the people saying that Donald Trump wears overcoats simply to hide his wings, while on the other side, you have people saying he has a big comb-over simply to hide his horns. And this is happening in the church. The household of faith is fractured over this. And I know people that are at each other's throats over it. Men who once broke bread together. Men who once went fishing together. Men who once went to the same church are now sworn enemies because one is not as enamored or as hate-filled as the other about this issue. Now, what troubles me is that on both sides, there are people trying to incorporate biblical verses that they've taken out of context in order to defend their position and condemn their fellow brethren. Is this what it's come to? Is this what Christianity has become in this waning hour, using the Bible as a cudgel to hobble our brothers and sisters in Christ? Look, I think anyone willing to employ reason will acknowledge that Donald Trump is not a saint riding a white stallion ready to take on the darkness, nor is he the prince from the pit himself ready to bounce on the nuclear football the instant someone hands it to him. Is he better than what the alternative would have been? Yes. By leaps and bounds, yes. By vast oceans of space and time, yes. By the distance between the earth and the sun itself, yes. And you know this to be true, because of all the bottom feeders and shadow dwellers and perverts and pederasts who are screaming as though someone else set them on fire rather than themselves. Because you know they're doing that, right?
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Boldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.